You're free now. Free to stream beyond your wildest dreams. Free to be everything you imagine, and then some. That's how it feels to have Quantum Fiber. Your world unleashed. Learn more at quantumfiber.com. Limited availability. Service in select locations only.
Imagine Dragons. Loom. World Tour. Live in Salt Lake City, Utah First Credit Union Amphitheater, Friday, October 11th. The brand new album, Loom, is available everywhere June 28th. Get tickets now at Ticketmaster.com. For more, visit ImagineDragonsMusic.com.
Welcome into the Yards After College podcast powered by KSLSports.com. I'm your host, Kyle Ireland. Happy to be back on the podcast for another week as we recap not only the week in whole in the NFL, as a whole in the NFL, but also the locals in the NFL that are playing, representing the state of Utah, these local colleges and universities, but also we've got some high school stars as well to talk about. And to join me on the podcast this week, we've got someone who joined the podcast before the season even began. He was my first guest. It's KSL Sports Beat's Sam Farnsworth. Sam, welcome back to the podcast. Happy to have you on.
I'm glad to be back on. Thanks for inviting me, Kyle.
Well, I wanted to have you on, Sam, because you covered the Denver Broncos for a number of years in Colorado. And the Broncos this last week, I don't know if I've ever seen anything like this in professional sports, or if we'll ever see it again, but the Broncos, they had all of their quarterbacks that were on the active roster basically right. Held out of Sunday's game against the New Orleans Saints. Drew Locke and crew ended up not mm-hmm. being able to play against the Saints mm-hmm. because of contract tracing after one of the quarterbacks, I believe it was Jeff Driscoll, if I'm not mistaken,
correct,
tested positive for COVID-19. And so they ended up having to play a practice string quarterback who was a wide receiver and ended up playing him. He had played Power 5 football at Wake Forest, that is. But, it's just crazy to think that in 2020 we had an NFL game take place without an NFL quarterback on one of the teams. Right. What did you think of that scenario with the Broncos? And the fact that the NFL didn't postpone that game, was it the right move to play that game?
It was absolutely ridiculous. The NFL, I think, had an agenda. They wanted to make an example of a team where, and rightfully so, point the finger at that quarterback room. Those guys were not responsible at all. You know, obviously they didn't know Jeff Driscoll had a positive case yet, but they went in on their off day to have kind of a group meeting together and look at some video together. And because no one else was in the facility, they just kind of were lax and didn't wear their masks, according to, the reports that I had been reading on. And so there you go. One guy gets a positive test and the entire quarterback room, because of contact tracing, now is wiped out from the game. However, you go and look at what the NFL has done all season with several of other instances, most specifically this past week with the Steelers and Ravens. How many times did they push that game that was supposed to be on Thanksgiving, played 6 days later, right? And so, the NFL usually is doing everything they can to make sure these games are happening, make sure that there's as best as possible, a fair competitive balance on the football field. And they did none of that for the Broncos. And I'm not trying to play a biased Bronco fan here or anything. It's just ridiculous. I mean, no one wants to see that. I know there was a lot of people in the state of Utah watching that game because they wanted to see Taysom Hill play in his second career start. But I mean, yeah, the game was kind of a garbage game, right? And I don't want to take anything away from, Hinton going out there trying to play a quarterback as a practice squad wide receiver. He had played his freshman year at Wake Forest. I think he played a little bit his sophomore year, but then he had already transitioned over to wide receiver in college as well. So it's been a while. And now he's got to go out there and do his best with zero week of preparation. I think that's one of the big things you have to look at too. There's not only are they grabbing a guy who isn't an NFL quarterback, because I believe with some preparation and practice, he could have been decent, not great, but
maybe
he
completed more than one pass, maybe more than one pass.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, I watched his college tapes. The guy's got an arm. He can make throws and he's got the mobility. But when you go from straight from the practice squad straight to a game day situation with zero prep, maybe a little bit of film work, a little bit of play study, but you're not out on the field throwing with your receivers or anything like that. And the NFL knows, the NFL knew that this was happening too, right? And they could have done more to help there be a little more competitive balance and preparation for, you know, it is what we saw. But you know what? It does go to show the rest of the league that you've got to take this seriously. You can't just, you know, kind of mope or you know, lollygag around the facility or whatever. And you've got to take this seriously. Wear the mask, do all those things that they're telling you to do so that you don't have this situation happen again. It was ridiculous, though. It was kind of crazy.
I kind of wonder, Sam, you bring up the Steelers-Ravens, you know, matchup there. And I just wonder if it would have been the Ravens that were in the Broncos position. You've got, you know, imagine if Drew Locke had been the NFL MVP a season ago and the Broncos were fighting for a playoff position, you know, hosting a division rival, and all of those things had been taking place similar like Denver had against the Saints. And if it was, you know, Lamar Jackson in the same position, I have a hard time believing that the NFL doesn't, you know, cater to that a little bit more so. So I think you're spot on there that, you know, it was an example that was being made out of the Broncos. And, you know, you saw this week even that the NFL had furthered its efforts to try and limit, you know, players' access to facilities and really enhancing its safety measures because of this COVID-19 pandemic. You've got players who are coming off of the field and they're immediately having to put their face masks on now, whereas that didn't take place earlier in the season. It was only, you know, coaching staff and other team personnel that had to, you know, kind of watch themselves on the sideline during games as far as face coverings are concerned. So it's crazy because everything is like, you know, changing on a week by week basis. We even saw Sione Takitaki, former BYU linebacker. He went onto the COVID-19 list a week ago. Now he's been activated for this week's game. So, you know, it's even affected locals in the NFL as well. Kyle Van Noy was put on that list earlier in the season. So, kind of crazy to see the impact that it's having. And I'm happy that we're at this point of the NFL season, Sam. I just hope that we get to the playoffs and we, you know, are able to have a postseason of, you know, some regularity and some normalcy. So we'll keep an eye on that as things progress and go. But you mentioned Taysom Hill there and the fact that he had his second career start at quarterback against the Broncos. You know, I thought Taysom looked pretty well. Like, he played pretty well. He looked pretty good in that first game against the Falcons. And it seemed like the Saints had a little bit of a different game plan against the Broncos. They ran it quite a bit more. They didn't throw it as much as they did against Atlanta. What did you think of that start? And then now that the Saints are playing the Falcons again for the second time this coming week, do you think that they're going to revert back to that first game against the Falcons where Taysom's going to throw the ball a little bit more? Or are they going to continue to run it like they did against Denver?
Well, from a game plan point of view, the Saints did what they needed to do to beat a Broncos team that was in turmoil and that wasn't going to do much on offense. It clearly was on purpose the way they approached offense in that game. Didn't throw much, ran. They just stuck with what was strong, and as they built the lead and pulled out in front early, they didn't need to do anything else. They didn't need to get big. And I think Mark Schlereth was on the color call on the game on Fox, and he mentioned the same thing that, you know, it's on purpose the way the Saints are playing this game. So don't necessarily knock Taysom, because looking at, you know, if you're just looking at the box score, you're like, wow, that wasn't a good start for Taysom, you know, but it was decent. It was decent. There were moments when I was watching the game though, where I was kind of like, gee, Taysom does not look great. He doesn't look like a NFL starter on a couple of plays where His reads just didn't seem right. And obviously they didn't throw it in as much volume. So it's hard to really gauge because I did make that comment on Twitter saying, you know, this is not the best start for Taysom. But at the same time, going back to what I started my comments with, he did exactly what he needed to do. Moving forward, yeah, they're going to call the game plan they need to call to win the game. And Sean Payton has confidence in Taysom Hill to throw the ball. We saw him do that in his first start with success. We know Taysom is a great runner with the football, especially in the red zone, once you get inside the 10, especially. So we know where his strengths are. We know what he can do. He's talented enough to complete passes and to throw the ball downfield as well. And if the game plan calls for that, which it likely is going to now, you know, going up against another offense that'll be able to move the ball, unlike the Broncos, then I think we would see a lot more of start one Taysom than start two Taysom.
Another quarterback that I wanted to ask you about as far as our locals in the NFL are concerned, Sam, is Alex Smith. And we've touched on Alex's story, just his remarkable comeback a number of times this season. You and I talked about it before the season even began about how, you know, we expected him to be in the running for comeback player of the year. Just if he was able to get onto the field and take a knee, you know, at the end of a game would be, you know, remarkable and a miraculous thing to take place in and of itself. But since that time that we last spoke on the podcast, Sam, Alex has played in 5 games, including a few starts. He's thrown for over 1,000 yards, a few touchdowns. He does have a number of interceptions. He's got a touchdown ratio of 3-5 right now. Mm-hmm. But he's got a QB rating right now of 81.3. And I was looking back at his earlier years in San Francisco. I was a big Niners fan, you know, in my teenage years. And so I watched Alex Smith a ton. And I was looking at his numbers just to see how he kind of compared, because he didn't really, I feel like, perform that well until Harbaugh got there in San Francisco. And you look at, like, 2009, he was at 81.5 was his rating. Well, this season he's at 81.3. That was his fourth year in the league. And then the following season, 82.1. So, I mean, he's playing at a pretty good level considering, you know, what he underwent as far as an injury mm-hmm. 2 seasons ago, not playing all of last season. What have you made of Alex Smith's first, you know, stretch here in this 2020 season? And what do you think he can do to kind of improve on what he's done so far in these first 5 games that he's appeared in?
I certainly think he's gone beyond any expectation. Obviously, those expectations were probably curbed by most people out there not knowing exactly how he would be able to actually respond in a game situation, an NFL game situation where you've got beefy, strong, fast defenders bearing down on you. How is he going to respond? How is he going to withstand hits? He's proven that he's been able to do all of that. I think he's done very well. I think the biggest thing you have to look at in these last over these 5 games that he's played in, 4 of which I believe have been starts, or at least 3 have been, the last 2 weeks, you look at, there's a W, right? They won those games. They won those games easily. And statistically, those might have been his worser games, depending on how you look at it. But I think there's a lot to be said about who is under center and the leadership that player brings to a football team, the confidence he brings to a huddle and to the bench and to a football team. I'm a true believer that is one big reason why the Broncos won Super Bowl 50. Peyton Manning's arm was a noodle arm by the end of that season. He wasn't always getting it done, but because he was the one under center, surveying the defense, making the right play calls, getting his team into the right situations, he set his team up to succeed. Statistically, he wasn't the Peyton Manning of old. Well, statistically, Alex Smith may not be exactly where he's at before, although he's had a couple of 300-yard games, nearly a 400-yard game against the Lions. But the big statistic is the last 2 weeks, I believe the 2 wins that they have gotten are in large part due to Alex Smith's presence on the team, the leadership he's bringing to that team that they desperately needed. Alex Smith is there. He has kind of re-cemented himself, in my opinion, as the starting quarterback, the captain of that Washington football team. And I'm excited to see where it goes from here, because I truly believe that, you know, he's beyond his prime. The injury has probably knocked him down a notch or two, but I truly believe that Alex Smith still has great things to come this season for himself and for Washington.
America, we are endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. At Grand Canyon University, we believe in equal opportunity, and the American dream starts with purpose. By honoring your career calling, you impact your family, your friends, and your community. The pursuit to serve others is yours. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu.
The murder of two men forces their families to wrestle with impossible questions. Who is forgiveness for? Does everyone deserve a second chance? Follow season two of The Letter, Ripple Effect, at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, through Washington's first 11 games, they've got a 4-7 record, and they're tied, as far as record is concerned, with the New York Giants for the top of the NFC East. And you've got the Giants who have beaten Washington twice this season, but Daniel Jones looks like he's going to miss some time here with an injury. And so Washington, I mean, they could still make the postseason with a losing record potentially, right, Sam? And so Alex Smith could potentially see himself, you know, reaching the postseason after all of the craziness and all the terrible things with this injury over the last 2 years. This comeback could become an even bigger and better story at the season's end. So we'll keep an eye on Alex Smith and what he does throughout the rest of the regular season here on the Yards After College podcast and KSLSports.com. But we're joined by Sam Farnsworth, KSL Sports Beat anchor. You can follow Sam on Twitter at Samsworth. Am I correct on that, Sam?
Yes.
Samsworth on Twitter. And before I let you go, Sam, I wanted to touch on a couple more things with the locals in the NFL. We've got the Pro Bowl coming up like every season, but this year it's going to be a little bit different. They're doing some weird stuff virtually. They're going to do some stuff with Madden. And I personally am not a huge fan of the Pro Bowl. It's not like the, you know, NBA All-Star Weekend to me. And even the NBA All-Star Weekend has, you know, its negatives, I think. But I just I don't like the premise of playing it the week before the Super Bowl. It just, to me, you don't always have the top guys playing in that game. Let's say the Chiefs are playing in the Super Bowl, right, on a regular non-COVID situation type season. You know, Patrick Mahomes isn't participating in the Pro Bowl, even though he's a Pro Bowl player. So I've never been a fan of the Pro Bowl in that sense, but we've got over 20 guys right now that are locals in the NFL who are up for the fan vote. I put up a piece on KSLSports.com and the KSL Sports app about these guys who are up for, you know, Pro Bowl nominations and fan vote right now. But what of these guys, which one of these guys has really stuck out to you this season? Because you've got, you know, guys from Utah, BYU, Utah State, who are all playing at really high levels this year. Who's the guy that you think is a lock to make the Pro Bowl this year?
Of all the locals, I think a lock for sure. And I think because of, you know, his career, Bobby Wagner is. The other one, I think there's another lock, though. I think Fred Warner's a Pro Bowl lock. I think he's certainly going to get to the Pro Bowl. I mean, he's one of those rising stars in the NFL, a phenomenal linebacker for the 49ers, has a big, bright future ahead of him here in the NFL. I loved that game when they played the Packers earlier this year. And I believe it was Aaron Rodgers was mic'd up, or maybe it was Fred Warner who was mic'd up, but you could hear Aaron Rodgers telling him, he's like, you're the best linebacker in the game. He's like, I seriously mean that. You're amazing. You deserve to be in the Pro Bowl. I think he said things like that. Fred Warner is I think, a lock for the Pro Bowl. So is Bobby Wagner. I think fringe guys, and maybe I'm getting ahead of myself answering your question here, but I think Garrett Bowles is going to be close this year. He's had a really good year, and that's saying a lot considering his first three seasons in the NFL, how oft penalized he was in the NFL, all the holding penalties he got and everything else. Garrett Bowles is going to be right there. He's been one of the top-rated offensive linemen in the NFL this season and was just rewarded with a huge contract extension, something that I would have said before the season never would have happened. Before the season started, I would have said, they're going to let the contract run out and let him walk. But he played his rear off, got himself in a situation where the Broncos now, instead of picking up that fifth-year option, they're rewarding him with a huge contract extension. So Garrett Bowles is another one of those guys that's really close. And I think he's going to be right on the fringe, at worst, an alternate that might get into the Pro Bowl. But those are the three guys that I think are really probably have the best shots, locals, to get into the Pro Bowl. And to comment on what you said earlier about the Pro Bowl, I agree. Pro Bowl is probably the most garbage of all-star games there is, but it's still a decent all-star game. And it certainly is a great recognition to have as a player.
Yeah, no, I think it's great to have that honor and whatnot. I wish that the format was a little better. When it took place was a little bit better. To me, it just seems like an afterthought of sorts, whereas in the middle of the season for the NBA, you know, or MLB, it's just such a big deal, and it really kind of becomes a big event for the sport. But you mentioned Garrett Bowles. I mean, 4-year extension with the Broncos, $68 million. I did kind of laugh, though, Sam, on Sunday against the Saints. He had a holding penalty.
You did.
I was like, oh, a little flashback there for me to a couple seasons ago there for Garrett Bowles. But, no, definitely playing well right now. One other question as far as these Pro Bowl players are concerned. Which of these rookies from the University of Utah do you think has the better chance at getting a selection to the Pro Bowl in his rookie season? Jalen Johnson of the Chicago Bears or Julian Blackman of the Indianapolis Colts?
Both have had outstanding rookie seasons so far. I personally think it's Julian Blackman. I think Julian Blackman is not only, you know, maybe considered to be one of those rookies that might make it to the Pro Bowl. His name is going to be brought up in conversations for Defensive Rookie of the Year, right? Whether he gets there or not, I don't know. Julian Blackman has been a solid piece to that Colts defense. And I know you've been keeping a close eye on the Colts. But what I think he's done this year is, yeah, you see some of the, and you could say this about Jalen as well, but you see some of those plays that Julian is making. He's getting in there, breaking up plays, picking, you know, passes off, making big tackles. He's doing things that if you just looked at tape, you didn't know who he was, what number he was, what his name was. You're looking at it, you're like, oh, there's you know, that's a 4-year, 5-year pro right there on some of those plays that he's making. And so Julian Blackman has had one of the most seamless transitions to the NFL of any of our local rookies out there. And, you know, Jalen Johnson's right there with him, but I think Julian's maybe got the edge.
Before I let you go, Sam, we have to flash back to beginning of the season before things all kicked off week one. You and I, we gave our preseason award picks. We talked about who we thought was going to make the Super Bowl, who was going to come out of the NFC, AFC, who was going to win MVP, rookie of the year, all those types of things. I wanted to kind of revisit that with you now that we're, you know, heading down the home stretch here of the regular season and see if we're on track for some of these picks. So let's start off with NFL MVP. I said Patrick Mahomes of the Chiefs. I think that Mahomes is probably the front runner right now if I had to put my money on it. And you said Deshaun Watson. Now, I will say I like Deshaun as a pick in the preseason, but things – you know, we're a little chaotic there, and Bill O'Brien lost his job with the Houston Texans. What did you make of, you know, that pick?
Oh, man, it was like – I think it was like week two in the NFL season where I was like, okay, this is not happening. Deshaun Watson will not be the NFL MVP this year. I still believe that Deshaun Watson's one of the more talented, diverse quarterbacks in the NFL, but a lot of my decision-making was based also on his team succeeding, you know, which they have not done the best of as well. But
Andy just lost a wide receiver. He just lost another one.
Yeah, no kidding. And so, you know, Will Fuller, what was he? What?
PEDs, I think.
Exactly, right? I mean, what was he thinking? What are you doing, right? But I don't know. That's another topic for another day, I guess. But yeah, not a great pick. I think obviously, Patrick Mahomes is right there. You know, Ben Roethlisberger, right? If you're going to pick
really
someone
well
from the Steelers, undefeated. I don't know, but
yeah, no, 11-0, and that leads into the next one, Coach of the Year. I think we both picked some good names here. I liked your pick because I'm a Colts fan. You picked Frank Reich, and I think that, you know, if the Colts can somehow win that division. I mean, losing to the Titans last week really hurt them, but if they can get into the postseason, I think that that's a big win for Indianapolis with, you know, not really knowing who their quarterback was going to be after last season, being able to get Phillip Rivers in. I think that's a good accomplishment for them, and their defense is pretty young. But I said Mike Tomlin, Pittsburgh Steelers, that's turned out pretty well with the Steelers being undefeated thus far. So I like that pick. I think that, you know, either one of those by us could be Coach of the Year after everything's said and done this season. But local MVP award, we said you gave Fred Warner and I said Bobby Wagner. I'm going to give you the edge right now because I think Fred Warner actually is more of a lock than Bobby Wagner to the Pro Bowl. I think that Fred Warner is just having a heck of a season. I really have been impressed with him. Every single 49er game that I've watched this season, Sam, I feel like Fred Warner has played better in that game than he did the previous game that I watched.
Yeah, I mean, this is a guy whose trajectory since he entered the NFL has just been on that steady incline, right? And it hasn't stopped even this year. I mean, he came into this. I had a friend of mine who works in sports broadcasting in Colorado earlier this year. He was asking me about, you know, I was telling him about our segments with locals in the NFL and stuff. And he was asking me about, well, you know, who are some more of the BYU? He was spitting out some of the ones that he knew of. And I was like, well, there's Fred Warner. And he's like, who's Fred Warner? I'm like, oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. He's still at that point where his trajectory is great. People who are really glued to the NFL are starting to become more aware of him, but he's still not that household NFL name star. Well, I think this year he might get himself there. It would help if the Niners, you know, succeed and help, you know, help their cause out. But right now they're last place in their division. So that certainly doesn't help Fred's name get out there much more, but he's going to be a Pro Bowler. He's potential all pro, you know, and he will be known throughout households eventually in his career. He's on that trajectory.
Now, Sam, I'm going to take a big loss here. This was not a good pick by me. And some of it, I'm going to chalk this one up to injury. I'm just going to use that as my excuse because I said the Dallas Cowboys were going to win the NFC to reach the Super Bowl. And obviously Dak's out for the season, brutal injury there for the Cowboys earlier in the season. But even before he suffered that injury, the Cowboys were not looking good. And I think week number two, I was just like, oh man, that was a really bad pick, Kyle. But you picked the Saints to come out of the NFC, and I really like that pick. And we both had the Chiefs coming out of the AFC. So I think your Super Bowl matchup's intact. And you had the Saints coming out over the Chiefs to win the Super Bowl here in February. And I said the Chiefs would win over the Cowboys. Now, I don't know if I'm leaning one way or another there. I think that either one of those teams could win. Do you still think that the Saints are your front runner pick for the Super Bowl, or because of Breeze's injury, are you leaning with, you know, the Steelers or the Chiefs now to the AFC?
No, I still like the Saints. I think Breeze is still going to be solid when he returns. The thing with the Saints, and you can say this about any Super Bowl contending team, really, but the Saints are very talented all across the board. And you look at their defense. Super Bowl winning teams almost always have one of the top five defenses in the NFL. Almost always. You can just look through the whole history and you'll see that. They just have outstanding defense. And as long as you've got that outstanding defense intact, which the Saints do, they're in a good situation in the NFC. I'll be honest with you. The Packers make me a little nervous that they might do something. And Kyle, I'm just saying Dallas has three wins. The Giants and Washington only have four wins. Dallas could still win the division and get into the playoffs and go on a miracle.
Andy Dalton leads the Cowboys to a Super Bowl victory. I see it now, Sam. I see it now. Oh my gosh. Can you imagine how crazy 2020 would be to go into the postseason and Andy Dalton's making a postseason run? That would be insane. Well, Sam, I appreciate you joining the podcast today. What can you tease for our audience about what you've got heading into this weekend? Obviously big weekend of college football for the state of Utah, huge. But you've also got NFL coming up on Sunday.
Yeah. I think the biggest storylines going to this weekend locally for, KSL Sports on television for Sports Beat is without a doubt what's going on in our college football world, especially with BYU being able to lock up that game with Coastal Carolina, traveling out there to, a couple of undefeated teams. They're doing what they can to try to speak to the committee into the nation saying, hey, we're here. Look at us. Please be aware of us. Don't forget us. So that's the big story. We're going to be glued on that game. We'll have full coverage for Sports Beat both on Saturday at 6 p.m. and Sunday at 10:45.
Be sure to check out Sam and Jeremiah Jensen, the whole Sports Beat team, their work on KSL TV. You can also check out Sam at KSLsports.com. Follow him on Twitter at Samsworth_KSL. Thanks again, Sam. Appreciate you joining the podcast.
Thanks a lot, Kyle.